RadioArchives.com presents Operator No. 5 magazine from April 1935. March of the Flame Marauders, the 13th adventure of James Christopher, Operator No. 5, America's Secret Service Ace, by Frederick C. Davis, writing as Curtis Steele. Read by Milton Bagby. Oil, black gold, the blood of Mother Earth. America had squandered its precious reserves, and a syndicate of skilled saboteurs was destroying the remaining store. With all national defense rendered helpless for want of it, bitter despair gripped the hearts of the country's millions. Pillage, slaughter, and slavery, misery and death threatened each American. And Jimmy Christopher, Operator No. 5 of the United States Intelligence, was gambling his life recklessly in a valiant effort to save his native land from extinction. And now, James Christopher, Operator No. 5's thrilling adventures, March of the Flame Marauders. Chapter 1, Torch of Terror. Black power was flowing out of the black ground and through the open blackness of the night, a precious, odorous, slimy stuff draining from the veins of Mother Earth. Crude oil. The drumming throb of a giant pump beat through the air from the shadow of a gaunt tower. Panting machinery, driven by a pulsing diesel engine, sucked the sticky petroleum from the depths of El Oro Negro Well, shot it through thick pipelines, and sent it gushing viscidly into the maws of the greasy tank cars on the railway spur. Hour after hour, day after day, and night after night, the well crew had been laboring without rest to capture every possible drop of this dark blood of the earth. The wan light of the Texas moon faded into the electric glare surrounding the Oro Negro, and the blinding bulbs threw long, thin shadows of the moving men about the base of the tower. Their motions were quick and tense. Their clothing, their skin, their lungs were permeated with the oil that made the atmosphere pungent, oil to be refined into fuel vitally needed by the defenses of the nation. On the roads stretching away from the Oro Negro, other men, wearing the uniform of the United States Infantry, stood on guard with ready rifles. They kept constantly alert, though none of the traffic on the highways turned toward the well they guarded. For a week they had been watching the strange exodus that was carrying hundreds from the boom towns of the oil fields, that was leaving the villages lightless and empty and silent. Tonight, the last of the few remaining families were deserting Rainbow Creek, the town which lay a few miles away on the edge of the field. Wheezing cars loaded with household goods rattled past. The grimy faces of men and women and children peered into the glare of the Oro Negro as they turned their backs upon it. Theirs were the hungry, despairing faces of those who had once earned their bread by oil, who were now facing a future as black as the sticky liquid which had failed them. Behind them, they were leaving Rainbow Creek deserted. The town stood gaunt and lifeless, its modest homes abandoned, its stores stripped and locked, its offices emptied, its street echoing no step, no window shone with a light. A few stray animals lurked in the darkness, but in all the town there was no scrap of forage left. Upon the discovery of oil in that territory, Rainbow Creek had mushroomed into being, created by the black magic of petroleum. Now it was doomed to molder into the dust of the sandy plain. Into the silence of Rainbow Creek came the soft purr of an engine. The bright headlights of a sleek roadster shafted a white beam down the empty main street. The glow of the dash shone into the alert blue eyes and clean-cut face of the young man at the wheel, into the freckled features of the alert-looking boy who sat beside him. In dismayed silence they peered through bleak windows into bare rooms as they rolled toward the jungle of oil towers ahead. "A year ago, Tim," the young man at the wheel said quietly as he shot the roadster along the highway, "this field was the richest oil reserve in the country. It was pouring out a vast store of petroleum. There are 15,000 wells in this section, and each one was producing countless barrels of crude oil every day. Now," he peered into the forest of gaunt towers spreading all around, a bleak, deserted wilderness, except for the gleam of the Oro Negro, it was as devoid of life as the town they had just passed through. "Now," he continued, "there's only one well producing. All the others are exhausted, one after another."